Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 198 of the Pika Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emilson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we have, over the past couple of weeks, gotten new spec trees for both Windwalker, Mistweaver, and Brewmaster. The Brewmaster one actually just landed this weekend, or this week. So we're going to talk about, I think, the Mistweaver and Brewmaster ones.
Yep.
We're going to talk about some other alpha stuff. We're going to talk about being back in Faded Emyrdrasil.
Yes.
And just some other news.
We have a new patch this week too, so we gotta talk a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, we gotta talk about how patch. That broke guilds.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah. How is being back in the tree raid?
It was good, except for we made a mistake, I'll say, in our guild of not realizing how much gear we did not have.
Oh no.
We basically on Tuesday used the skip and went right to Smolderon.
Yeah.
Without clearing anything else. And our raid was sitting at like 515 item level. We hadn't done Mythic Plus for the week. A lot of people hadn't had their second bullion item. A lot of people hadn't thrown upgrades or done their second craft or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Which it makes a huge difference when when we killed original Smolderon in progression, we were only, I think, 2 or 3 item level off of cap.
Right.
And at 215, you're 10, essentially.
Yeah, 10 to 15, yeah.
Yeah. So it was an eye-opening experience to the point where, we were having trouble healing off, the absorbs, and, people were just dying to a single flame wave. Even though you shouldn't get hit by flame waves anyway, it was, essentially a one-shot mechanic in certain situations. So we spent about 8-9 wipes on it, so about an hour before realizing, hey, we should just clear the rest of the raid and then come back here on Thursday. So that's what we did. We cleared the rest of the raid, went back on Thursday at 5:22, I want to say, ish, or 5:21. Nice. And basically two-shot it. And then two-shot, three-shot Tendril, and then killed Fyrak again in a couple pulls. So...
nice.
We ended up full clearing, but we made the slight mistake of not realizing how behind on gear we were.
That's really interesting to hear. So we also did the skip, but my first raid's on Friday. Mm-hmm. So when we hit Smolderon, we were eye level 519.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody basically had gotten their second bullion item from, this is actually was going to be in the news section, but I was just going to bring it up here.
Yeah.
If you've not logged in and done the dungeon, do 4 dungeons weekly, you should do that. Mm-hmm. It gives you 2 antique bronze bullion, which is enough to buy an item. And unlike the other bullion that you can get, there's no catch up for this. So if you miss it, it's just missed. And that's not the end of the world, right? It's a 4 fun season kind of deal. But, if you do care about getting best in slot stuff in season 4, you should log in and do that.
Yeah.
And any mythic dungeons count. You don't have to do mythic plus. So,
You can just slam mythic zeros. Yeah, it's easy. Do ruby life pulls.
We had 6 wipes on Smolderon, and it was just orbs, pretty much. It was just people making mistakes with orbs. A little bit of weak aura issues. Nothing too crazy. When we killed it, we actually had almost everybody die in the transition to the last one because we had had 8 orbs go in.
Nice.
And it was just that the boss was at 2% going into the final bit, so we just killed it.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, no, it was night and day with those upgrades. It was wild, the just the way the fight felt after we basically shoved the upgrades and did a full clear. So
yeah. That of course was followed by Tendril, which we did not kill, but we got pretty close to. We put 15 pulls into it, which is more than it should take, and it's just fundamentally it's fire beams. That's just the number one issue by a million miles.
Gotcha.
And people just have to dodge fire beams, and if they don't, then we can't 19 man this boss right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I will say Tyndryl felt much more like, for us, like a not a reprogression kill, but like a farm kill, right? Yeah. Like phase two seems super, super short for whatever reason.
Are you lusting phase two?
Yeah, we still lust the shield in phase two. Like the basically it's the shield, so it's not, it's just the start of phase two. And yeah, so I mean, it's weird. It just feels super, super short. But yeah, I think we had 7 wipes on it. And 2 really deep ones, like P3 wipes, but everything else was like a P1.
We had like a 6% wipe, like 5 pulls in, right?
Nice.
And then just like didn't get back there and kill it.
Yeah.
And it's really just like we need people to stay alive. There's some other stuff going on. A few extra wipes to people not collecting seeds. Which is just like we didn't, when we were progging it, we had people assigned to quadrants, and over time, kind of like, that's drifted and shifted, and it was a small disaster last night, so, or on Friday night, so we have new quadrants for people.
Nice.
And then like too many people breaking out of roots instead of letting them get killed, which we had a pull that was clean. We get to the end of phase two and the whole raid just dies to the last starfall, basically.
Yeah,
like just absolutely murdered. And we're like, okay, we need more healing cooldowns there. Maybe. But it was our first time to that point. And then the next time it felt fine. And we're like, what's the difference? What happened? And like, there's some of it that's like, we have a preservation evoker ramp there that wasn't totally online the first time. Uh-huh. So there's that. And then there's also 7 treants the first time and none the second time. And like a couple treants is pretty okay. It's not a big deal. 7 meant that they were like, 25% of our damage taken in the 10 seconds before that starfall.
Yeah.
And that's during seeds. Like that's during the seed dot, which is a huge amount of damage. So for that to be 25% of all damage taken in that time period is just nuts.
I think that point of that of Tyndryl is the highest damage point until you get, there's another overlap in P3 that's like a root into starfall type combo.
Yeah.
But yeah, that part is all, yeah, we basically, it's one of those positions where like our raid leader's like, literally live, like whatever you have to press it now and like live and don't break roots.
So we moved aura mastery around. I did some looking and I was like half of the people in the top ranks are using like basically 1 aura mastery. They're using it at this spot where we are dying. I'm just going to move our aura mastery to this point and just give us, you know, make us 12% more alive.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Prague's going, I mean, this week seems the easiest of all of them, other than our mishap day one. Really?
No, Abarus. Abarus was, we trash canned that raid.
Interesting.
We had less wipes in Abarus total than we had on Tyndryl this week. We actually were very close to having less wipes in Abarus total than we had on Smolderon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, I think we were like sub 10 pulls on Sarkareth.
That's why that was not us at all. We had a very different Abarus experience, I'll say.
So
yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like this one was just generally a little bit easier.
It is certainly more familiar. And I think we're suffering a little bit from people being used to the non-faded one where we've gone in and like, you know, you do Tyndryl and you just lust phase one and he just doesn't do any mechanics until phase three, basically. Exactly. And then he does like 2 mechanics and dies. It's very much the heroic Tyndryl experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget. Oh, dude, next week's going to be so much fun doing mount runs. Oh, I'm so excited. I got my mount this week, so I was excited.
Very nice. There's some fun stuff where like Smolderon this week, tuning wise, felt like Kurog felt phase or in week one.
Yeah. I can see that.
And we were not high level 520 in week one. So that boss is going to get smoked.
Yeah. I'm excited for next week to go back to Vault because like we made really good progress in Vault, I'll say, in Mythic. And like, I'm excited to see what we do to that. I mean, Diurna, I think, is still going to be interesting. And Razagath, of course, is just like for lack of doing that fight in a while. But it'll be fun. So, well, cool. Well, we had a lot to talk about. So maybe we push a little bit forward. The one thing I did want to bring up is, and I just want to call out someone. I read a tweet earlier today that basically someone was like, they should just have bullions all the time. This is stupid. Totally bring them back to season four. And I just want to say that that's a dumb idea. Like I don't care. Like, bullions are fine in season four. Don't make me able to buy the specific piece of gear I want, like, after farming some currency in, like, lower ranked raids. It just, I don't know. It upset me.
I would love to see some hybrid of, like, bullion and bonus rolls. One of the things about bonus rolls is you could, like, target a boss to get a specific item and usually miss, which sucked. They usually miss, like, 99% of the time you didn't get what you wanted, and that sucked. But, like, having something where, like, you can over time earn bullion to be able to go and, like, get an extra item from a specific boss that has, like, a trinket that you want.
I'm old. I'm yelling from my front porch here. I don't like that idea. Now,
like, the bullion cheating on, like, the upgrade track where, like, you can go into normal and get a mythic Jarn. That I can see as, like, a let's not bring that to regular seasons, but, you know.
Yeah, it would be, I mean, I don't know. We don't have to spend too much time here, but my only point is I agree with you. Maybe be nice to be able to target it like bonus rolls, but I would say the way they do it now, maybe, is they just let you take one vault slot. Maybe it's the third vault slot. And you basically say, I only want items from X boss in this slot.
Yeah.
And so it functions kind of like bonus rolls did, but you have to still put in the work to unlock that third slot. And then
you're guaranteed to get an item. Actually, instead of, like, rolling gold all the time.
That's true, yeah. Oh, maybe it could roll gold, just troll everybody.
No, absolutely not. Do not bring that back. That only made sense back in, like, MoP, where you could, like, farm bonus rolls and just spam those things.
Nice, nice. All right, well, I was a small tangent. We got a lot to cover today, so let's get back on track. So, we got a couple of news items to quickly run through. We might not spend too much time here, but Blizzard has put out a bunch of new job postings for an unannounced game. It looks like these are pretty high level or high, like, senior positions on this game. Looking at, like, narrative director, creative director, principal animators, things like that. So it's interesting that they have another unannounced game in progress after what the survival game got canceled. And then I didn't realize this, but apparently Overwatch 2 PvE mode also was canceled. That was in the Wowhead post about this. So yeah, it seems like they have another game potentially coming up.
Overwatch 2 continuing to be a massive fuck up by Blizzard.
Dude, I didn't realize they still have an Overwatch 2 like league. So like I got a random alert from like the Twitch app that was like Overwatch 2 league, like come join in and watch. I'm like, who plays that game?
Like so Overwatch is still genuinely like a fun shooter to play, a fun like group shooter to play with friends.
Yeah.
It's also like just a complete disaster. Like Overwatch 2, the breaking from like Overwatch to Overwatch 2 is just an unmitigated disaster. The shop is terrible, still terrible after they like reduced prices on like everything by a lot. It was a disaster. It was like the stated motivation was to like bring things like the PvE mode and the like reduce team size from 6 to 5, but like they could have reduced the team size from 6 to 5 on the old engine.
Yeah, and just
yeah, the real reason to do it is so that they could replace the shop.
Yeah,
and the shop has been an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't loaded up or thought about Overwatch 2 in like years. It's like it seems like every time I'm like, when's the last time I played Overwatch 2? And like I look, it's literally been years. It's always much longer than I remember. So yeah,
like it's fun. I enjoy it. I don't really fire it up to play very often unless I'm playing with friends.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, and literally all my friends, if they're playing a shooter, it's like Valorant or like some sort of like survival type game.
Yeah. So a lot of our like shooter time with friends now is like Deep Rock Galactic or Helldivers kind of games where it's more co-op versus PvE.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. Oh,
Helldivers is good, man. Talk about another game that's getting messed up.
Well, at least Sony backed off.
Yeah, they backed off. Well, we'll see how long that lasts.
For now.
Okay, we did get a patch this week, patch 10.27. We talked a little bit about it last week. It's a minor patch. There's additional story stuff to sort of set up the War Within coming up. And then a couple of minor tweaks, stable updates for Hunter and Hunter Pet Management. And then there's a new Looking for Group tool. Which was broken horribly when I logged in, because I was excited. I was like, I'm going to get on a little bit early. I have like an hour. I can get a key done before my raid. It just didn't work. It's just tons of errors. Turned off all my add-ons. Still errors.
Turns out that the people writing it didn't consider the fact that you might have the mature language filter off.
Yep.
So it only functions if you have that on at this time.
Which I don't know why that would be a thing, unless they're checking like the names of the groups for mature language filter. And that's like the mature language filter can't support that. I guess you're turning it on.
I'm going to go with like the classic it's spaghetti, right?
Yeah.
Like game's 20 years old. It's spaghetti. That's my answer.
That makes sense.
Speaking of spaghetti, Siege of Orgrimmar in live. Currently on a one-day lockout for no apparent reason.
Dude, so, I love it. I got all four of the color variants for the Hunter mechanical pet, like the Scorpion mechanical pet.
Yeah, nice. Oh,
it was so good. Yeah.
So you can go and like power farm your Tusa Manoroth right now if you want.
Exactly.
And then they also finally fixed a bunch of the BFA raids to be soloable at the end of the, like, now that they're almost three expansions old.
Yeah, they kind of did. They broke two of the fights. Gahoon and Nazoth, I believe it was Nazoth, were broken for a little bit. And now they've since, they put another patch in late in the week. So now everything is soloable in BFA, it looks like.
Nice.
And then there was a set of, that's I think all in the 10.27 news. I will say just real quick, new LFG tool. I really like it.
Yeah.
It's super easy to like target. For me, like what I like to do is when I do Mythic Plus, like I want to get plus 10s in everything. Like I just want to get 10 done in everything. So it's easy for me to like basically look at every dungeon to start with and then slowly tick off. Like if I do a Brackenhide, I no longer look for Brackenhide 10 keys. And so, that stuff's really nice. And I, to be fair, I'm a little bit of a greedy person as a DPS, is I only look for keys that have a healer in them. Yeah. So as long as they have a healer in them, I'll try and join the key. But if they don't, I'm not sitting there for 30 minutes waiting for a healer.
It is nice how it brought in some of the features from, like, there was a weak card that was going around that would like show like class colors on the entries and stuff like that. You can basically delete that now. There's also elements of pre-made group filter that are in there, but the filtering now happens on the server side if you use the built-in stuff, which means that you're not going to end up like, you could, if you set strict enough filters, hit the search button and then have no results come up because they all got filtered out.
Yeah.
Because it was doing it client side after it retrieved it from the server. So this is a pretty nice quality of life improvement. Hopefully they let you turn off the mature language filter again soon.
Yeah. It was funny. Like in my raid and like guild chat or like raid chat, there's like just little squigglies now. Like when certain people, I'm just like, oh, wow, you're being an idiot. So maybe I don't need to see that. Maybe I kind of like it on.
I had reset my UI a few years ago. Like all my settings got reset and everything. And I just never turned it back off.
Nice.
It's just not like, I don't really need to actually like know whether you said, you know, one four letter word or another.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they're functionally the same.
You get the gist of it. You get the gist of it. So. Yeah.
And you get some fun things like Assassination Rogue getting censored half the time.
That's true.
But yeah, the last thing from live this week, we did with the last reset, get tuning. Yeah. And there are some things that everybody expected, right? Vengeance Demon Hunter getting nerfed. Balanced Druids tier set bonus getting buffed,
which is good.
And then they nerfed Brewmaster.
I saw
which is a little bit out of left field. I'm going to actually, so maybe a little bit controversial here, I am laying this at the feet of Equinox. And it's not entirely his fault, because it's also the fact that both Brackenhyde Hollow and Algathar Academy are in the dungeon pool at the same time. And when you're good at Brewmaster, you can do so much padding on those dungeons. It is unreal the amount of damage you can put out on mobs that basically don't matter. Like all of the lashers in the tree area in Algathar's, and the lashers in Brackenhyde, just like huge amounts of damage. And in Brackenhyde, half of those things despawn, so you don't even actually have to do damage to them.
That is so funny.
But, you know, Brewmaster, it's something about like the damage scaling, right? It's something about the way that like our damage doesn't fall off hard enough at high target counts. And in particular, White Tiger Statue is a big culprit here, where it's effectively tuned for Windwalker and we're not Windwalkers. So the nerfs are 10% nerf to Keg Smash, 10% nerf to Spinning Crane Kick, 30% nerf to Tiger Statue.
That's high. That's a lot.
And then they gave us a couple of buffs, and I have a note about this, so don't take it at face value. They increase our magic stagger rate from 45% to 55%, and then they buffed our healing spheres by 10%. Now, that's all great, except that they fucked it up, and the Cat Statue nerf is not in, the stagger buff is not in, so they just nerfed Keg Smash and Spinning Crane Kick and buffed healing spheres.
Oh, that's so funny.
So, like, the biggest part of the AoE nerf is not even in. And that's the biggest funny. Part of the survivability buff is also not in. Because, like, the healing sphere buff, like, barely matters with how good strength of spirit is.
Fair enough.
You just overheal so much. It does mean that, like, your one orb expel harms are going to be better. But yeah. As soon as you have, like, two orbs, if you hit strength of spirit below 30% HP, you're just full health. It's a lay on hands.
We should bring Kate in here just to confirm that those buffs and nerfs are or not in. I read a little bit of Master chat and a little bit of contention of if they actually made the changes or not. I love Discord sometimes. Love it.
Yeah. It's very frustrating. Which, like, genuinely, I would trade all of this AoE damage stuff. Like, Keg Smash shouldn't have gotten nerfed. That one, we're already only pushing it to turn on other things in our single target rotation, so further nerfing it hurts that. Yeah. I actually spent some time this weekend. We were doing a normal run to help somebody gear up an alt. I experimented with a no Keg Smash rotation. Like, no Keg Smash, no Breath of Fire, just push, you know, other buttons. And there's no reason to do it. Like, you actually are giving up more DPS talents than the Breath of Fire ones in order to skip Breath of Fire, because it's the most efficient pathing to reach them.
That's awesome.
It wasn't the best, but it was actually shockingly good.
That's funny. That's awesome.
But I would have really liked that magic stagger buff. Really liked that.
It seems like it's always been Brewmaster's little Achilles heel there is magic damage.
Yep.
Well, cool. Well, yeah, all that stuff. Well, some of it's live, some of it's not, but those are all the retail, we'll say changes. Well, cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about Alpha. And just maybe a couple of quick hits, and then we can talk about like the tree changes, right? So there was a new build this week, as always. The biggest news coming out of the build is really just that Shaman finally get a hero talent tree. So they have one.
I didn't know they had zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor Shaman.
That's good. It is, you know, it's good they got that. And then handful of changes, a bunch of Brewmaster stuff, which we'll probably talk when we talk about the trees went in. A handful of more Windwalker-ish, we'll say, changes. I think they got one new talent, but a little bit of change to their stuff. And nothing in terms of Mistweaver this week, I'll say. So Mistweaver is same as it was last week on Alpha. So Another solid build, we'll say. I think we got a new battleground implemented this week. So if you want to, if you're that type of person, you can test it out. And then they're doing stuff with the warband achievements overall, which is, I do not envy the person that has to mess with that data, because that sounds absolutely
horrid. That sounds terrifying.
That sounds horrid. And cool. And then one other interesting change that I thought was funny was the flight master, the flight point speed. You can get an achievement to increase your flight point speed, your travel speed between flight points, which I just find funny. I don't like why. Like,
I mean, I don't get on it. The one hand, this is a funny to me replacement of the old style, like, get this achievement and you unlock flying for the expansion.
Yeah.
Like, achievement. On the other hand, I do actually use the flight points in Dragonflight, where I'll really? Like, yeah, I'll just like get on the flight point and go AFK for 10 minutes and come back and I'll be there.
Okay. Okay.
You know, like, I don't, do I use them often? No.
Yeah.
But, you know, I use the flight point from Veldraken to Iskara with some regularity. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't think I've ever used any of the others, but I do use that one.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I don't think I've ever used a flight point. Like, not that, okay, that's a little bit extreme, but I...
The Vault of the Incarnates one, actually, you can take a flight path to Vault, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'll be honest with you, I wait to get summoned. Like, completely wow. Fair. I sit down for most things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never take flight points anywhere. Because, like, it's wasted money. You're just throwing money away. Come on, just fly.
Oh, no.
Just fly.
I've wasted more money this week than I've spent on it, flight points for the entire past like three expansions, because God. I bought a weapon enchant on my monk,
mm-hmm.
and then ended up having to buy a second one because I've got my bullion weapon on my monk after.
Oh,
and those weapon enchants are like 5,000 gold.
Well, I mean, I did the same thing, but with the belt. Enchant.
So yeah, that thing's more expensive than the weapon enchant.
Like, yeah, it's like 15, I think. 15k, yeah. At least on Mal'Ganis, 12 to 15, something like that. So, yeah, no, it's, I guess that's a lot of money. I save my money. I fly everywhere or get summoned, one of the two.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I use them occasionally. Not a common thing. You know, I'll take in the AFK flight path being a little bit faster. It doesn't really matter because I'm going AFK anyway, but.
Yeah. You know. I just fly really high and like use point. Basically point myself in a direction and just like sort of, you know, coast. Angle it just right. So I always coast. I don't lose enough speed. And then, yeah, I hope I hit the mark. The only time it messes up is actually, funnily enough, when heading to Brackenhide, in that like I always hit the mountains. So
yeah, it's pretty hard to not hit the mountains and then also aim yourself correctly from Veldraken to hit Brackenhide.
Yeah, that's a goal of mine.
I'm actually now I want to try that. I want to try going so high from Veldraken and then pointing down in the direction of Brackenhide and just fly directly into the dungeon entrance.
That'd be tough. I think you'd do it though.
I think it's possible.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah. So a couple of just alpha changes there. And one other thing before we get again, last thing before we get into the talent trees is there is a new glyph of Jab coming in the War Within. Maybe not new. I guess it's been around maybe for a little bit, but hasn't been implemented. So yeah, so now you get to wield your weapon when you jab. So if you actually can see your character in a fight, you will now see them hit with their weapon. So I don't know. I've never actually cared about this. I don't get the like people in like Discord or on the forums will say like, hey, we should wield our weapons, but it's like it's a jab. You're punching someone like.
Yeah, it's so it used to back in Mists of Pandaria when you use this, it would change depending on your weapon. It would mm-hmm. be a different name, different icon, and different visual based on your weapon. And that's one of the things that they spend a lot of time with working on monk animations. Like monk animations across the board are really good. Yeah. They are the first class to get new animations in kind of the post, what's the word? When they started working on the visual updates for WoW, right? Cataclysm yeah. happened. They're like, wait, some of this old stuff looks really bad in comparison to the newer stuff. Okay. Monk updates, lots of new animations. than WoD was actually like race model updates.
Yep.
So that was all, you know, that was nice. And then like Brewmaster, like I came up playing Brewmaster in Legion with Blackout Strike rather than Blackout Kick, which did use your weapon. Like we have, you know, the over the shoulder special animations for the Legion artifact, and it also had the animation with Blackout Strike, and so now you can get that animation with Blackout Strike back. I think that's probably the most important thing for like people playing Brewmaster that missed that from Legion, is now you can use your Legion artifact appearance with the Glyph of Jab, and that's going to give you that old animation back.
Nice. Yeah, so if you care about those animations, you can get a glyph in the War Within, and it'll be super fun for you.
I'm getting that immediately.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm playing Monk. We'll see. Ooh, might be skipping that one. all right. Well, I think like we mentioned at the top of the episode, we're going to sort of dive into a lot of the talent tree changes. I don't know if we have a bunch of time to go in depth on everything, but we'll at least give you an overview on like the major differences, I'll say, and what the impacts of that are. So, I don't know. It might make sense. Maybe we start with Mistweaver and then do Brewmaster.
Which for the WoWhead talent calculator, it makes me pick. Which
it doesn't matter. I don't believe.
Doesn't matter. All right.
Yeah, my understanding is
you're a master of harmony.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, to take you through the major changes, at least we'll say in the first 8-point area, right? The starting area. Biggest changes you'll see is a total lack of Essence Font, which I'm excited about because spell is gone. And so in general, that's going to be the biggest change. And so everything's sort of been reordered around the fact that Essence Font is not there. Skipping ahead slightly, what that does mean is there's no like Font of Life talent anymore. And so in general, that's sort of the largest change. We do get one new talent in this sort of grouping. It's Crane Style. It's the little kicky looking item icon, red kicky looking icon.
The Charred Passions icon from Brewmaster.
Oh, is that what that? I didn't know what that was. And basically what this does is now allows your like Rising Sun Kick or Spinning Crane Kick, Rising Sun Kick 100% will heal two allies with a Gust of Mist, which is, of course, our mastery. And then it provides a chance for Spinning Crane Kick and Blackout Kick to also heal one ally within 40 yards with a Gust of Mist. Again, a mastery proc. So just some nice little kick weaving or fist weaving, whatever terminology you want to use for it. Some melee healing, some healing triggered off of your melee abilities, which is always, always nice. Other than that, everything else remains largely the same in terms of its function. There is a bit of a change in sort of the numbers, right? But in general, Thunder Focus T is still Thunder Focus T. Invigorating Mist on the right-hand side is still Invigorating Mist. So it is what it is. Now, as we get to the middle here, this is where we see a larger number of changes, not in the sort of across the board, I'll say, in a couple different areas. So first up, like I mentioned, you'll see a lack of Font of Life. Again, that was the Essence Font talent that allowed you to reduce the cooldown on Thunder Focus T. No longer there. But the big one you'll see is actually Zen Pulse is a passive for Mistweaver here. So on the right-hand side, the little glowy orb, it's now a passive. And it triggers off of your Renewing Mist and Vivify interaction. Basically, it allows your Renewing Mist to have a chance to cause your next Vivify to also trigger Zen Pulse on its targets and all allies with Renewing Mist on them. So it's
that actually seems wild.
Yeah, it's basically like a nice little Zen Pulse trigger, a chance to trigger across every ally that has Renewing Mist on it. So sort of supporting the like spreading the Renewing Mist gameplay.
So you don't even really like my initial read of this, I missed the all allies thing. Mm-hmm. So this, you don't even really need to be thinking about like, oh, I need to watch for a Zen Pulse proc and then use my Vivify on the tank. You just like, you spread your Renewing Mist, you have them active on the group, and then you just like Vivify, and sometimes the Vivify also triggers Zen Pulse on the tank, which generally in Mythic Plus is who you want to trigger it off of because they're in the middle of all the mobs.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's a really good one. A really nice change. They also, there's a new talent too, just off of that down to the left, called Deep Clarity. And basically that is after you fully consume Thunder Focus Tea, which we'll talk about, there's charges now, multiple charges, Thunder Focus Tea. You now will, your next Vivify will trigger Zen Pulse. So there's a way to basically force a Zen Pulse proc utilizing Thunder Focus Tea, which I think is sort of very cool.
Nice.
And then staying within this section too, there is a new talent just below that one called She Harmony. This is our two piece from season three or season four of Dragonflight. So from that set bonus, it's essentially just we get in every time you apply Renewing Mist, She Harmony is also applied, and it's 50% increased healing taken for 8 seconds of, on that individual. So it's not as wild as not as wild as it is now, but it is a nice little boost. The reason it's not as wild, of course, is as you sort of look across from left to right here in this row, which I believe this will be the same row in the current talent tree. Oh no, sorry, it's one above this. But you will not see Clouded Focus in the tree either. So that has been removed. Yeah. Clouded Focus no longer there. It was actually just below like the miswrapped refreshing mist node in the current tree. And so you just end up with Peer into Peace, which Peer into Peace was a new talent we got in season four. And that stays there. It's just below the row that you're on, right in the middle. So down one and to the left.
I found it.
Oh yeah. So basically this is the same talent we have today. But you'll notice in this same section, if you look at the current talent tree, is all the connections are slightly different. Basically, Peer into Peace moves to where Clouded Focus / Ancient Teachings was, and Ancient Teachings moves to where Peer into, or what is it? Sorry, I always mess this one. Peer into Peace is. So that's sort of a slight change in where they are, but functionally all the same. You also notice in this same row is Focus Thunder, which is the additional charge or the allowing Thunder Focus T to empower two of your next spells, is no longer a choice node because the choice node it had was with Upwelling, again, the Essence Font talent. So that's been removed. And then moving through the rest of these talents, really the bottom section remains largely unchanged. Other than, of course, Ancient Teachings being in a new position and having new connections, not connecting through Peer into Peace at all or any of the miswrap talents. It's just sort of on its own off of Jade Firestomp. And then, of course, we get Dance of Chi-Gi as a new... I don't think we have that in our current tree, right? Oh, no, we still have it. Sorry, we have it in our current tree.
Wait,
but
you guys have Dance of Chi-Gi?
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. So
when does Brewmaster get Dance of Chi-Gi and Ancient Teachings, actually, for that matter?
Never. So sorry, we do have it today. So
yeah, I say immediately after they nerf Brewmaster.
Yeah, after they nerf all your AoE, and like you're like, yeah, well, we probably need to nerf an AoE.
Well, they need to nerf Cat Statue.
Yeah,
like which we don't have Cat Statue next expansion. That's another important piece of context for that nerf. They're nerfing an ability by 30% that's going away when pre-patch hits.
Yeah, which I find hilarious. So largely what you can see is in the tree, the removal of the Essence Font talents, of Essence Font and the talents associated to it. And really the reorganization kind of starts in that lower section, middle to lower section of our tree, which is where you'll have the removal of Clouded Focus, which I think is super big. A lot of people don't like the current play style, which is essentially to sort of ramp up Renewing Mists out and then just pump a single target with healing and leveraging your Vivify sort of spread, cleave healing and stuff like that. So that's sort of gone now. There's a couple of like tweaks that don't really show up in the talent tree, such as like with Thunder Focus T now. I don't know if this, I think this is going to be the interaction, but it starts its cooldown immediately when you use it. So currently the way the functionality is, if you have a two charge of Thunder Focus T, you have to use both charges and then the 30-second cooldown starts. In the new way, it sort of functions more like a charge based system where each charge can refresh
cooldown independently. Yeah.
So that's a really good change there. And then Shaylin's Gift, largely the same, those talents over there. There's not much change in that section of the tree. Really, our capstones, I think, are actually the exact same.
So one of the things that is really noteworthy to me about this tree, and we'll touch on it again when we talk about the Brewmaster tree in a minute, the way in which, like, the tree got a big refresh, right? There's a lot of changes to it, but those changes are mostly enabled by removing old complexities tied to an ability that was just unpopular, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people, there are a few Essence Font diehards, but by and large, people didn't like Essence Font. They cut it. They cut the things that connected to it instead of trying to keep them around. And that allows them to bring forward other things that people do like, mm-hmm. stuff like your tier set that's both very good and very popular.
Yep.
And bringing forth other newer things like focusing in more on Thunder Focus T, which, you know, we'll see. I feel like there's this tendency for load-bearing abilities to kind of like develop this negative yeah. negative attachment. So
yeah, well, I mean, we'll see what the removal of Clouded Focus does, because I think that was an interesting new playstyle that sort of, you know, came about. But I mean, with the nerf in, what was it, season 3, to yeah. the fact that like our renewing mists, like the more you spread, it doesn't matter because it's sort of capped at 5 targets. So technically going to 6 or 7 renewing mist targets was less overall healing than trying to stay yeah. around 5, because it's the square root scaling yeah. factor of the spell.
So blanketing the whole raid and renewing mist is no longer the optimal thing to do.
No, not at all. So, I mean, them curtailing that back is fine. But I mean, I think for me, the biggest change is Essence Font. I mean, I've waited 8 years for them to remove that ability. Like, since August 30th of 2016, when Legion launched, I've wanted that ability gone. So I think it's nice that they've finally gone through and been able to pull it out of the class. And like you mentioned, like it allows for a little bit more design space, I'll say. Makes sort of the ancient teachings build, or not ancient teachings, but the is it? Yeah, it's ancient teaching, sorry. That build now focus a lot around Jade Fire Stomp and that sort of in yeah. melee combat healer. And then essentially the bottom right hand focus more on being still probably in melee, because it just makes sense as a monk, but like the ability to cast more while you're in melee.
Monk like that. Like Holy Paladin. Mystery Monk like Holy Paladin gets counted as melee even if you're not playing it with the melee abilities. So that matters for like fight mechanics. Like, we were actually having this discussion about Tyndrill. Mm-hmm. Melee healers don't get targeted for the dispel mechanic.
It's so awesome.
So it is beneficial for, like, even though Holy Paladin is not really using stuff like Crusader Strike, is to my knowledge right now, mm-hmm. They still want to be up in melee on that fight, because it just means you're out of you're not going to get like clipped by the dispel puddles or anything like that. You're going to be in a good position preemptively.
Yeah. No, I think that was, I mean, that aspect of the class is always awesome, and the fact that they've cleaned that up a little bit too, because I mean, it's been a while, but like the whole Legion reworks were just so funny, because Monk Mistweaver was still considered, like, they used to be like a hard melee and soft melee tags. So like certain abilities that would never target melee would never target Mistweaver, but could target Holy Paladins. And so mm-hmm. that was our one up on them for trying to steal our playstyle when it was alternate disc.
And then what was, oh man, now I'm blanking on the name of that stupid Azerite trait for Holy Paladins. Glimmer. And then Glimmer happened.
Yeah. And that. But yeah, so I mean, ultimately, I mean, the other thing too, as we look at this, there's going to be probably a couple write-ups. I know June just did a write-up on the hero talent tree for Master of Harmony. So she had a lot of good stuff going on there. So yeah, so I mean, it's just, I think, you know, definitely take a read through that, because that hero talent tree is, it does provide the ability to go both in melee and more caster-based. So, or I shouldn't say more melee ability-based and caster-based. I hate the fact that people say there's a ranged Mistweaver. It frustrates me, because ranged have so many more mechanics to dodge. Like, just sit in melee, it's easy. But yeah, so I mean, it's there's a lot more information out there, but I'll say the tree looks good with the removal of Essence Font, and I mean, I am personally sad to see Clouded Focus go, because I sort of liked that talent and like a lot of the skill expression that sat behind it, but yeah. I think in general it is a toxic, like, I hate to say this, but it's like, to me, it's you playing that talent is like trying to play very early Legion disc, where like their ramps required a bunch of like literally cannot move, and there's like a 30-second window for them to like hit their max ramp. And if they hit it, they're gods. But if they miss it, it's not worth bringing a disc.
Yeah. Yeah.
At all. So yeah, no, I'm excited about the tree. So
yeah. Brewmaster, there's been a lot of questions. Like, we obviously got the new class tree, and there's stuff that was in the class tree that we knew was hinting at the spec tree getting reworked. Because, for example, Clash was in the class tree, and the Clash node in the spec tree didn't do the thing where it gave you like two charges of Clash or whatever. It just didn't work. You could literally talent into it and get nothing.
Nice.
So we knew that it was extremely likely we were going to be getting some spec tree changes. And we did. And we actually got some pretty substantial ones. I will say, before we started into this, we need some more. And fundamentally, the reason that we need some more is just the points are insanely tight right now. You have to skip so much stuff at the bottom of the tree because there's just not enough points. And it's some degree like pathing. You have to spend extra points in the middle to be able to path into the stuff at the in the capstone kind of layer.
Uh-huh.
Which then means you're not spending those points on capstones. However, we did get some really nice changes. By far, the most notable change is the removal of Bone Dust Brew. That whole section of the tree now has been replaced. I say whole section. It was two talent nodes. It's been replaced by this little three nodes in the triangle formation. And I'm really excited about this one. It's called Ox Stance. If people remember back in Mists, monks had stances that did not last very long. But this is a callback to that. But it actually is closer to Will of the Necropolis, which for those that like aren't up on their tank knowledge, Will of the Necropolis is one of the Blood Decay talents that is what allows them to function without getting one shot all the time. Okay. What Will of the Necropolis does is when you're going to take you're going to take damage below like 35% HP, it absorbs a percentage of that damage. And so it basically is like when you're low on health, it will help keep you from actually dying. And if a hit is really big, it will take the edge off of it, much like Stagger used to be before Stagger was like the main defensive thing for Brewmaster. So what Ox Stance does is when you cast Purifying Brew, you get a charge of Ox Stance. You get more charges if you purify higher Stagger. And when you take damage that is greater than 60% of your current health, everybody keeps missing this. I miss this. Current health, which means that when you're low on health, this is a lot more likely to trigger. A charge is consumed to increase the amount that you stagger. This is the kind of thing where we really need to do testing, and the talent is not 100% complete on alpha from what we can tell so far. But this is basically what this means is you push Purifying Brew, you get Ox Stance charges. Those Ox Stance charges mean that if something is like going to do a huge chunk of your HP, you stagger more of it. And it helps keep you from getting just like one shot, which is actually like a real problem for Brewmaster right now. It's very spiky. We are well past the days of BFA where you would just like push Iron Skin Brew and never push anything else and just be a brick wall that was unkillable. Brewmaster health is a yo-yo at times right now, which can be fun because it gives you like Celestial Brew is super beefy, Expel Harm with Strength of Spirit is super beefy, but it also means that sometimes you just die. So one of the things I'm excited about our changes in this new class or in this new spec tree is we're getting some tools to help deal with that spikiness, and this is one of them. There's a couple of talents that are built off of this. Are branched off of this. One is Black Ox Adept, which causes Rising Sun Kick to also grant a charge of Ox Stance. One other theme through the updated Brewmaster spec tree is a lot more tie-ins with Rising Sun Kick, making Rising Sun Kick more of a first class part of the Brewmaster kit instead of like an afterthought that happens to just be there because it's really good and also in the class tree.
Gotcha.
The other talent off of it causes Ox Dance to trigger when an attack is larger than 50% of your current health. And that's probably not something you see in a lot of higher end content, but it might be something that comes into play in like normal and heroic dungeons, normal raid and heroic dungeons, where stuff just doesn't hit as hard, so it's harder to consume your Ox Dance. So this might be like you take this point in lower level content.
Or like, I guess farm too, right? I guess maybe you never get there and farm, but.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's places that you definitely would not need this talent, heightened senses in farm. Like thinking of like Sargeras farm.
Yeah.
You know, having it for his tank hit, it's always going to trigger it. 100% of the time in farm, that would trigger Ox Dance, no questions asked. And that would have been extremely valuable to have. The heightened senses wouldn't really come into play, but it probably would have come into play on like, what is it called? Forgotten Experiments, where it's a lot of smaller damage. There's no big tank hit. And that would potentially help deal with, you know, the ticking damage, which is another classic Brewmaster weakness.
Gotcha.
I think the potential main issue with this right now is it's going to be a delicate balance between not having it triggered by like every auto attack and also not running out of charges. Like if it's, if every auto attack is triggering it, then you run out of charges really quickly and it does nothing most of the time.
And then randomly, maybe not randomly, but Dolan does something like every time you can trigger a charge essentially. Right.
Yeah. So like there's going to be a delicate balancing act between like trying not to have it triggered off of every auto attack so that it's up for the big hits.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe moving it towards a more passive model where like it's just always on like Will of the Necropolis is, and maybe it's less powerful in each individual case, but that's okay because it's just always there. Something like that.
I mean, I guess if it is triggered on every auto attack, then it becomes more of a game from a tank. I don't know if tanks like this, because I don't play a tank, but like it's more of a game of saying like, all right, I need to save a Rising Sun kick for this point so that I can trigger a black or an Ox Dance or a charge of Ox Dance essentially.
And I think that could be cool, if not for the fact that Celestial Brew is also on the GCD and is just going to do that job better.
Gotcha. Okay. So then like, what, I guess if Celestial Brew covers the larger hits, what is like, what would the point of this be? Just to have an additional level of coverage for like,
for stuff that you can't super big plan hits for. Okay. It's kind of like my thinking on it is like, it's stuff you can't plan for. It's a much more frequent thing. Like when you push Purifying Brew at heavy stagger, you get 3 charges, right?
Yeah.
So you push Purifying Brew. You can push Purifying Brew like every 8 seconds. So a pretty steady stream of charges that you're getting to help with this stuff. And it helps cover things that you can't just like, you can't hit Celestial Brew every 3 times per 8 seconds. You just can't. And so it's going to help cover some things that are threatening without like being necessarily raw throughput.
Yeah.
But there's still like a risk that if every auto attack is eating it, if you're, it's just one of those things, like it's either functionally passive because you generate enough charges that you just cap out on charges. Yeah. And you never have to worry about it. And then you might as well just make it all the time and just not worry about the charge system at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or you can't, and you effectively never have charges. It's like that queuing thing, right? Like a queue is always empty or full.
Right.
In the long term, a queue is either empty or full. And if you take that and you spread it over a whole 8-minute fight, you either always have all of your Ox Dance charges or you never have Ox Dance charges.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It seems to me, just like looking at it, it seems to me like if it's functionally the same as like Celestial Brew, then like you may, maybe you treat it as more of like a minor cooldown. Like if you're not going to have just a passive charge for every hit, you treat it as more of like a minor cooldown, like that you can pair with something or just use on its own for a random hit. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so there's some other changes in here. Bonus brew being removed, the biggest one. We also have some restructuring up at the top of the tree. So the beginning parts of the tree, there's some stuff that got removed. The healing elixir, gone. I can't even remember the name of the talent. The one that gives you movement speed when you dodge or are missed, also gone.
Okay. Nice.
Celestial Fortune, now baked into the, like, it's just a passive that we get. You no longer have to talent into it. And so some of these things are freeing up space to give us other new talents. Like, for example, the entirety of our Season 2 tier set. So we have two different new talents, so they're both very good. The Season 2 tier set is probably the best tier set that Brewmaster got this expansion. One of them, Strike at Dawn, Rising Sun Kick, grants a stack of Elusive Brawler. Pretty good. And then the other, much better, One with the Wind. You have a 10% chance to not reset your Elusive Brawler stacks after a successful dodge. This is just really good.
That sounds super good. Just, yeah, just to keep that dodge chance up, a 10% chance just to, like, have additional dodge for another attack. That's wild.
Yeah. And, like, it's not, like, gonna break the world or anything. It works out to basically, like, you can math that and it ends up being equivalent to, like, and the amount that's, like, in the single digits, single to low double digits of extra dodge chance. But it's still good. Like, dodge is really, really good on rate. This is way better than what was in the early part of the tree before in terms of, like, value for the spec in all forms of content.
Yeah. I just want one thing you mentioned, like, you don't have enough points. It's just funny as I flip back and forth between the Mistweaver tree and the Brewmaster tree. And, like, the top half of your tree looks so much fuller. Like, there's just so many more nodes than, like, the top half, or I guess the bottom half of the Mistweaver tree. Yeah, it's funny. It's weird that they don't have a balance of all that type of stuff. So,
yeah. So we also have a new, two other new talents. Again, top of the tree, this is stuff you're going to unlock early during leveling. It's also stuff that you're going to have access to as part of just, like, pathing through the tree and getting everything set up. We have August Blessing. When you would be healed above maximum health, you instead convert an amount equal to 40% of your critical strike chance to a heal over time effect. So if you have, like, 40% crit in, like, one of the later tiers of an expansion, you have 40% crit. This is going to give you about, like, 15 to 18% of all overhealing as a healing over time effect. And the value of this is going to depend a lot on what you're doing and what the tuning of healers is like. Right now, healers overheal so much that this would actually be very sizable, because it's not 15% of healing, it's 15% of overhealing, with some healers hitting, like, 50 to 60% overhealing.
Yeah, across the raid, that's wild. Yeah.
So that could be pretty good. We also have another fake cheat, a new fake cheat effect called Elixir of Determination. When you fall below 40% health, you gain an absorb for 100% of your recently purified damage, or a minimum of 20% of your maximum health, cannot occur more than once every 15 seconds. This is good.
Okay. Seems solid, an auto trigger, basically shield, right?
Yeah. So, like, the traditional issue with these kinds of things is a combination of high cost, like, they cost a trinket slot, right? Well, you only get two trinket slots. That's a pretty high cost. And a combination of high cooldown. Typically, when we see these effects, they're like 90-second cooldown, 2-minute cooldown. So it's really hard to justify something that triggers so easily as falling below 40% health for that kind of cost with that kind of cooldown. This has neither. It's at a great spot in the tree to be able to pick up and path to other nodes. It's one talent point, which you get 30 of. So it's much lower, like, opportunity cost to pick it up. The cooldown is extremely low, and the shield scales with the content you're doing. That's actually the last thing that tends to be a problem, is, like, we see these things and they're, like, really good for lower content where you can't trigger the effect in the first place because they're a static shield size. But this one, like, if you're doing a 28 key, 100% of your recently purified damage is going to be a huge shield. It's going to be enormous. and then in your you get it again 15 seconds later. And then in lower content, you can still trigger it. It's still going to be good because it's going to give you like, maybe it just gives you that 20% of maximum health, but that's just fine if you're doing a Mythic Zero. Mm-hmm. That's going to help keep you alive. It's going to be constant every 15 seconds. Is that like, I guess that's the maximum rate you can trigger it. So like, it's a mistake to treat that as like 15% or 20% healing or 20% max HP as healing every 15 seconds, but it's still good. Like, this is just, it doesn't have a lot of the problems that we typically see with these kinds of effects on trinkets and gear. And even like, there's blood draw, I think, is the talent for blood decay or for death knights in their class tree. That's got like a 90 second cooldown and does less than this. Granted, that talent is available to Frost and Unholy, who do use it. It's just, you know, not good for tanking.
Fair enough.
So yeah, there's lastly, I want to touch on a couple of changes to the bottom of the tree in the capstone area. Two specific changes. One is the choice node after Weapons of Order is no longer a choice node. It's been split into two. Mm-hmm. So you can, in theory, take both Chi Surge and Call to Arms. Call to Arms being the one that summons Invoke Niuzhao. Mm-hmm. Really tight on points, so I don't think you'd ever do that, but you could. Then, kind of connected to that Invoke Niuzhao thing, they changed improved Invoke Niuzhao. What this was before is that based on the amount that you purify, your next stomp from Niuzhao does increase damage. Mm-hmm. Now it is basically going to be a fixed amount based on your attack power, and you get more for purifying at high stagger. So like, the typical way these things work is like, at light or no stagger, you get 1x the effect. At medium stagger, you get 2x. And at heavy stagger, you get 3x. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what we expect here. Again, points are tight. I don't think you ever take this right now, but you know, it's a lot less toxic.
Well, that's good.
No more sitting on the jailer to get huge purifies, to get huge stomps, then have Niuzhao accidentally crit the boss, rip threat, and wipe the raid.
Fair enough. I guess, yeah, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, you know?
Yeah. So overall, good changes. I think it still needs some work. In particular, I think like Ox Stance needs a little bit of refinement, but we'll get into that with the alpha testing. And then I think it needs some light restructuring to just free up more points to actually be able to unlock things at the bottom half of the tree. Like right now, you can't take high tolerance. It's too expensive for like 2 points for that effect. You can't take it. There's too many other things. You can't take Fort Brew Determination. You currently don't, and you never have the whole expansion. But it's even harder to take now because of how many more things there are that you want in the bottom half of this tree.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Very fair exciting enough. Changes, though. I tried to test these on Alpha, got into a dungeon in the first boss, disconnected the whole group.
Nice, nice.
I haven't been able to log into that character since.
We had that happen our first Phyrex pull on Thursday.
Nice.
The entire thing froze, and then everybody got kicked to the login screen, log back in, and we had been rolled back about 5 minutes. So we had just basically bought a bunch of Vantus runes, put them on, and then we ended up being rolled back, and everybody had to buy like another Vantus.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that was unheard of.
Yeah. It was wild. It was wild. So I forgot to mention that when we were talking about the raid. Yeah. That was like the funniest thing is like, because we were joking around, messing around. And then, like, just froze. So,
we were hearing horror stories about instability on Friday, and we were planning. We had a heroic sale that we were doing first thing in raid. That we were like, oh my god, is this going to be a disaster where we like get disconnected and have this sale takes like half of our raid time?
Yeah,
and we had no issues all night. None.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah, we just had that one weird disconnect and rollback, and then. Other than that, instances were fine on Tuesday and Thursday. So
nice.
Cool.
But yeah, I think this is going to be it for the show today. We have there's So much exciting stuff with these new talent trees for us to figure out. Oh, I didn't even talk about Anvil and Stave getting changed. It still needs testing, so I'll come back to it later. Nice, but yeah, I think that's going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, come and join the Discord. It is the best place to ask Anomaly when Apple is going to fix their shit.
Yeah, now we have to fix the podcast stuff. I got another email out to them. So we'll figure it out this week, hopefully this week.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.